Hello, this is Linda Naylor from ICIS, European Polyethylene and Polypropylene Editor, talking to my counterpart in the olefins markets, ethylene and propylene, Nell Weddell. Good morning, Nell.
Good morning, Linda. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, in spite of this terrible weather. And the markets, in fact, the markets have been very dramatic in recent weeks.
Very.
We've seen polyethylene and polypropylene spot prices increased by more than 60% now since mid-October. There's fear of polypropylene line closures because of the tightness of the polypropylene situation. And I think that's quite a bit to do with propylene, isn't it? Just why is propylene so tight?
Well, propylene actually, I guess, has eased a little bit in the last few weeks. So, because propylene started off very, very tight. I mean, at the back end of 2020, we had a lot of sort of unscheduled cracker issues. We still had some ongoing longer duration cracker outages too, and unseasonably strong demand. So we started the new year in a very strong position. We have had some imports. We've had imports from Asia and the Middle East, and that has helped to ease the situation a little bit. And we've had more reliable cracker operations too. But demand has continued to be very, very strong. Demand from all sectors has been very, very strong, and pricing is high. So spot prices are quite high. This has meant that some people have had to make a decision, funneling what propylene they have got into higher margin derivatives as well. So we've seen a raft of reductions and closures in some cases because propylene has just been too tight or too expensive for that particular market. But refineries, it's the refineries which has been the sort of the crux of the matter, and why the market is tighter than expected. And the refineries have been cut back because of COVID, the pandemic. But we will be going into sort of planned turnaround slate as well. So this week, the Mero refinery in Germany, which is quite key for propylene supply in inland Germany, that will be on maintenance now from this week for about 6 weeks. And
Oh,
then
my
we'll
PP
get
guys are
into
not going to be very happy about that.
Well, and then after that, we will be going into sort of the cracker turnaround sort of slate. So from early April or end March onwards, then we're into cracker turnarounds, and remembering that we have three or four more turnarounds than we had anticipated because of the ones that were sort of postponed from last year into this year. So, it's there will be still supply constraints on these markets.
What about the recent force majeures that we've seen on polypropylene in Europe? We had one last week. We've got one from Borealis in Kallo, INEOS Grangemouth, LyondellBasell at Tarragona. They lifted their ban one last week, and we've got the sort of the rumbling one with Total that was declared last August, and it's not going to be lifted before April. Is that going to affect propylene supply at all, or is it just too tight for that?
It's just, I mean, I think demand is too strong. Demand is very, very healthy. So, in terms of spot prices, we are seeing premiums backwardated moving forward. So the premiums are reducing. So it is suggesting that the market is easier supply-wise. But we don't know what the outright prices, what this means in outright prices, because we don't know what the March and April contract prices will be. But it is slightly easier, but demand is what is keeping the prices up. And demand is looking at what's happening in the US. Those prices are more than double European prices. So there's for some, there's still quite a bit of room to be had, even with these high prices that we see on propylene spot. Ethylene's a different story though, I think, now, and definitely starting to see it diverge, although it's a pretty quiet market.
Before we move on to ethylene, can I
Sure.
just carry on with propylene for a bit longer?
Sure.
So you said about the US situation, and that I think is one of the reasons that we've managed to see so much strong export from Europe, which really tightened the market at the end of 2020. How long, I get the impression that that situation in the US is not going to ease soon. Is that your impression too?
Yeah, that's my impression too. I mean, I think there is a number of, well, it's the refinery situation again and the COVID pandemic. It seems it, and demand is pretty good too. So I think it's a perfect storm for the US right now. I don't know when it's going to change. I mean, it's at 98 cents. It kind of stalled at 98 cents from midweek last week, which suggests that people are a little bit, you know, reluctant to sort of break that, well, $1 a pound barrier. But to me, you know, and then they will also have some turnarounds as well. So, I mean, to me, it looks like it will, you know, it will persist at least for the rest of the quarter, I would imagine.
And we've also got Asia to consider as well, haven't we? I know that things are quiet this week because of the Lunar New Year, but I've noticed that my colleague brought prices up last week in Asia on polypropylene. And that while there was some material available for export, the high freight rates and the container issues meant that the costs were just too high to move into Europe. The European prices are going up, but not to that extent yet. It's going to be very interesting to see how China comes back after the Lunar New Year. Okay, sorry. So I interrupted you when you started talking about ethylene.
Well, propylene is the more interesting one, really, at this point. Yeah, as I was saying, really, ethylene, it has started to sort of edge downwards. I mean, it's certainly a much better balanced market than it was at the beginning of the year. We've had imports. The cracker production has been more reliable, and we won't start sort of the 2021 cracker maintenance slate for another few weeks. So the idea really is that, or the impression is that, you know, with production being reliable, demand is pretty good. But I mean, you know, the market should ease back into its more kind of normal lengthy position. There should certainly be ample availability. And I guess people might question why we would still be seeing, you know, spot prices at a premium or even at contract price flat moving forward because of that.
Because when you think about it, you know, we've been expecting ethylene to be long for months and months now. 2020 was supposed to be a really bad year because of the new capacities coming on stream. And who would have thought that we would see what we have seen? And I think on polyethylene, that is clearly is going to impact polyethylene. Polyethylene is still tight in Europe. But as you said, ethylene is easing. But we still need imports. High density polyethylene is a net imported product. Linear low density, C4 in particular, is almost all imported. Low density is not, of course. Low density is what they call a homegrown product. But Europe does need imports, which we're not seeing because of the better opportunities in other countries. We will, I think, because of the ethylene situation easing, as you described,
should see spot prices shift on ethylene. That ethylene and propylene, those paths should diverge.
Yeah.
The contract price is based on feedstock primarily. That's the primary driver. And at this point, we've got, I think we're about 30 euros above month on month.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, that certainly gives a good indication of where we're expecting the March CP to sort of fall. But yeah, in terms of against the CP, I would imagine we should see the spot numbers start to shift a little bit more towards discount levels than premiums. But like you said, I mean, who would have thought? We would have never expected to see up to plus 20 on ethylene.
Absolutely. Even though with ethylene easing, I don't think we're going to see any impact short term on polyethylene. No. It's still tight with the imports that we're talking about potentially arriving. That's going to take weeks. Talked about the situation in Asia. The Middle Eastern suppliers are supplying better netbacks to Latin America, and Latin America is still looking tight. So it's not really going to. It's certainly not going to be March before we see any impact.
Well,
from
I think
that.
From the monomer side, you know, we say easing because there should be better availability and the better sort of operations in general. But you know, demand is still strong. And I don't think anybody's anticipating the sort of discounts that we had, that we saw quite a lot of. We were getting quite used to last year, the sort of the minus 25s and 27% and things like that. So, you know, we will slip back perhaps potentially, but, you know, it may not get to that point. It won't be a repeat of 2020. People are expecting the turnaround slate to support the market. So, you know, we're looking at least first half of the year being, you know, relatively well supported in terms of, you know, supply constraints.
All right.
And so demand is holding up too. So
yeah, absolutely. It is in polyethylene and polypropylene. Excuse me. So really for March, then I think polyethylene and polypropylene buyers are still going to be under a great deal of pressure.
Yeah.
And I think the polypropylene guys are going to be under more pressure for longer. So let's talk again next month once we've got the new CPs and see how things are going then.
All right.
So thank you very much indeed, Nell. So this is Linda Naylor and Nell Weddle from ICIS signing off. Stay well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.